What's up, everybody? This is your host, SB Sanchez, and we are back again for another episode, another pretty unique guest, and another opportunity to talk about all things mental health related. Today, we are going to be getting mentally entangled with a guest that has experience in a sport that I could never imagine myself doing because of how difficult it is. Trey Nash, welcome to the podcast. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. So currently, you're a tumbling coach. You've been doing this for a handful of years now. I believe you said 10 years of experience so far, including the assistant coaching position that you hold at Wallace State. I guess my first question for you would be, how did you get into this in the first place? Like, what's your personal background with tumbling?
I've been tumbling for about 10 years. So probably 16, 17. I did All-Stars at a young age. While I was young, I did dance, which was... Man, it was perfect. But what really got me into cheerleading was I wanted to learn how to tumble. Mm-hmm. And my friend Kenny brought me to the gym and he was tumbling. And I was like, all right, cool. Let me go ahead and, you know, tumble myself. And it was fun. It was super, super fun. I didn't want to be on the team at first. I just wanted to learn how to do flips. But there was this girl that was there, mm-hmm. and I had a major crush on her. And I was like, you know what? If she's doing the team, I guess I'm going to do the team too. So, okay. I mean, and honestly, the rest is just history. I just stayed in it. I actually fell in love with it. So it was like, there's no sense of leaving.
So what was the biggest competition you ever competed in?
The biggest one that... biggest competition I've ever competed in was the Summit where I tore my ACL at.
How did that happen?
So in the middle of a competition, we were throwing baskets and somehow the basket that I've been catching for the past, 3-4 months, mm-hmm. I caught it and like going back, replaying it in my head, I caught it and like turned my head so I didn't get hit in the face. And I guess when I turned my knee just went down and it just popped and like I just fell to the ground. I caught him, put him on the ground and just agonizing pain. It was.
Did you know pretty much right away that you had probably snapped it or?
So when I heard the pop, mm-hmm. 2 years before I heard that same and felt the same pop in my right knee. Okay. Tumbling. But when that happened, it was my meniscus. Like I had a slight tear in my meniscus. So I was like, when this happened, I was like, oh, I just tore my meniscus again. I did not even come up with the conclusion that it was potentially my ACL.
Yeah.
So like when I hit the ground, I was like, this is painful, but it was on the same pain scale as my meniscus. Mm. So when I was being examined by the red shirts, the guy was doing like the ACL test and he was like, well, I don't think it's your ACL. And I was like, oh, that's great. My meniscus. And like when I got the surgery on my meniscus, it was just a quick little scope. I was walking the same exact day. So I was like, all right, cool. Meniscus hurting. Yada, yada, yada. I'm going to be back in Bama, get my surgery, walk in. I will be back. Mm-hmm. And no, it didn't happen. Like once the adrenaline started wearing off, it was way more painful. And I was like, okay, this is kind of weird. And I couldn't put any weight on it.
Yeah.
And then I remember we getting back to the Airbnb and I DoorDashed me some crutches because
Where did you get?
CVS. Hold on.
Okay.
CVS got them. But the crutches are way too short for me. So like, no, it was a mess. And instead of using two crutches, I only ended up using one. Mm. But like I could not put weight on it and like I was trying to force myself to put weight on it and I had to drive back from Orlando to Alabama with a torn ACL and like I could barely fit.
Was it your driving foot?
It was my left foot. It was my left foot. So like I didn't have to use it, but keeping my leg like super straight all the way was awful. Well then I went to go get it checked out and my surgeon, as he was doing the test, he was like, we're doing MRI. He's like, I'm a little worried about your ACL. I'm like, great. That's all you had to say. And I was like, ugh. So we did the MRI. And like one of my friends, she is an athletic trainer.
Okay.
So I was explaining to her like, hey, this is what's going on. Yada, yada, yada. And I sent her a picture of both my knees, and she's like, I hate to say this. She's like, I think you may have torn your ACL. I was like, don't say that.
Right.
Don't speak that into
start
existence.
Start knocking on wood everywhere.
Right? So like, I went on YouTube, watched every, like, I'm talking every video from like the past 10 years to recent, how to do ACL tests at home. I was like, okay, I got to figure this out. And there was one test. I don't remember the specific test, but I remember doing it. Mm-hmm. And they said, if you fail, that's your ACL. And right. I was like, okay. And I remember failing, and I was like, great.
Yeah.
And then the results came back. The results came back in my email, and I was playing Fortnite with my friends. And I remember, like, we were waiting for the next game, and I'm scrolling, and I see it, and it was like ACL. And when I tell you, my mood went from like, I was cheery, I was happy, to where it was like, I was like, I'm gonna go to bed, y'all. Like, yeah, it was,
just call it a day after that.
It was depressing.
That's tough. Yeah. Injuries are always really tough, having to accept them. But I think it's even harder to accept that you're going to be in like rehab from it for a longer period of time.
Yeah.
So how long did it take you to recover from that?
Recover from the surgery itself? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I had surgery. I think I had surgery on a Wednesday. I was back at work Monday because, like, the next 2 days I was at home, started going crazy. Like,
oh yeah,
it was just sitting there. And like, I had already got bored with playing video games. I couldn't do anything with my camera. Like,
athletes suck at being hurt.
100%.
We're the worst.
When I tell you I could not do anything, I could not do anything. So I just sat there. I sat there and slept. I think I had my first checkup the next, I think it was like the next week. Mm-hmm. And then afterwards, he was like, let's go ahead and get you into PT. I was like, let's go. Yeah. And within a month, I was able to start walking without it. They told me not to do it, but
again, very athlete of you.
Yeah. So I started walking. Like, I started walking, and then I found myself walking without my brace, which they were not happy about.
Right.
But again, I was doing it. Mm-hmm. So now I'm thinking, we're in September. I think I'm like 3 months out. Mm-hmm. 3 months out from the surgery. And I'm doing good. Like,
right.
My PT last week asked me if I started running. So I haven't started running, but her asking me
gave you the permission.
Like,
you
let
needed.
Me go. And just, so like this past yesterday when I worked out, like I got on a treadmill and just like not full blown running, but like doing a little prance just to try to get the idea of like actually getting off the ground and putting weight on it. It didn't hurt. I was scared, but like I did it for like half a mile. I was like, okay, cool.
Good. I hope you continue to recover at a pretty good pace. Sounds like you're ahead of the game.
I'm so ready. I'm so ready.
Yeah. So obviously you've had your own experience, like being an athlete yourself. How did you get into the coaching world?
When I think it was like my first year ever actually cheering, my coach was coaching, and I mean, he still is, but I had noticed there's like 4 or 5 athletes that loved coming to the gym. Mm-hmm. Like they absolutely loved it. They loved him. And I was like, okay, the feeling that the, like, cause I started enjoying coming to the gym. Like it was just like a great atmosphere.
Yeah.
And then he had a coach. So it was him, it was Chad, Tyler, and John, all three of them, all different coaches, but they all had like their presence, like that makes kids want to go. Okay. So once I started seeing that, and like, once I started, there was days where I didn't go to the gym. I was like, this sucks. Like,
yeah.
I want to go to the gym. I'm like, I want to be that for somebody.
Like, you almost miss being around them.
Yeah.
In a way. Okay.
So it got to the point where I think I would go like once a week, to where that gym was open Monday through Thursday, and I was there every day. Like, I would, and it just so happened my coach lived down the road from me. So like, I would get off the school bus, get home, change clothes, take my bag. Boom. I was there. I was there from when the gym opened, maybe 4. So I was there like a little earlier, but like from 4 all the way to 9, like every day, like clockwork. But I wasn't tumbling the entire time. I probably tumbled like an hour here, practice here, watch this. But for the most part, I was in the gym. Yeah. It was just, it was a safe place for me, you know, mm-hmm. like I love the environment, love being there. When I was in there, I didn't care. I didn't get a care of nothing else in the world. Yeah. So it was awesome.
You were able to kind of like escape and shut out everything else and just be present in whatever it is that you were doing.
Oh yeah. So like seeing that and like feeling that for myself, like I wanted to be that for somebody else yeah. because you don't know what these kids are going through.
100%. Very so, true. For a lot of, especially young kiddos, like sometimes whatever sport they get involved in, that's the only time that they feel peace.
Oh yeah.
Because home life is maybe not necessarily the safest place. So I think coaches have a really unique opportunity to build a relationship with somebody who maybe as a coach, you're the only positive relationship or the only healthy relationship that they have in their life. And like people don't realize like how far that can go for that kid. It can yeah. go a really long way.
I tell people when people ask me like how to get into coaching or whatever, I tell them I can't speak for other coaches in other sports. I do know when it comes to cheerleading, we wear multiple hats.
Yeah.
We have, you know, you've got the dad hat, the mm-hmm. mom hat, the big sister, the big brother, the best friend, the diary. You know, you've yeah. got kids that come in there that I've had one athlete who we would do private lessons. There were some private lessons we didn't even tumble. Like yeah. private lessons would be 30, 45 minutes, maybe an mm-hmm. hour. And for that whole hour, say like we do an hour, we'll probably like warm up 15 minutes, probably do a couple flips. But for the next 45 minutes, what's going on in your life? And it's stuff that I don't even ask. It'd be like, you can see it in the body language.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, you know, you had a good day. And then you have a good day turns into, boom, they're unloading.
Here's
and
what happened.
It's
yeah.
what they needed, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, 100%.
And then they'll end up leaving. They'll come back the next day on fire.
Yeah.
And just, it's what's needed in this yeah. sport.
Yeah. I will say that's one of the main reasons I wanted to bring you on is I do think that within the community of like athletics, we don't realize as coaches, as players, like how much mental health finds a way to like wrap itself into everything we do.
Yeah.
'Cause you know, you come in anxious, you come in depressed, that's going to affect your performance. But then it's like, as a coach too, do you have the knowledge that it takes to be there for a kid that's having a panic attack before a competition, right? Or that's having a breakdown because they just went through a breakup or something. You know what I mean? Like it's simple things that every human deals with day in and day out. And as much as we as athletes want to pretend that everything just turns off when we start playing, performing, competing, it doesn't. Like, life is gonna play a part
yeah.
in the sport that you play as well. Like life doesn't just disappear when you start to compete. So being able to pick your brain on some of those things, some of like the mental health issues that you see within the tumbling cheering community, because that's obviously a community that I have never, well, actually I have a story for you.
Ooh.
I was a part of that community for like 2 weeks when I was really little. But anyway,
she said 2 weeks.
I don't have much experience. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
So getting you to voice on some of those things that you do see, I feel like is important. You do have to answer a question first though, before we dive deep into some of this.
Lord
stuff.
Have mercy.
It's not that bad though. If I asked you to define mental health, how would you define it?
Ooh, that's intense. I would probably answer it with, you know, when you know the feeling. I don't know. Maybe this is not the right way of explaining it.
There's no wrong answer.
But you know, like when you have a good workout, that mm-hmm. when you walk out, you know you did amazing. Like mm-hmm. that high that you're feeling. Or you played soccer. So like you just came off a game. You score 8 goals. You solid.
8 goals.
Eight goals. Like
super realistic.
You put
okay.
up eight. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like that feeling. Like just that super, super high. That's what I would describe it like. Yeah. And like I said, I'm not really good at describing it, but
okay.
I would describe it as like just essentially happy or sad or in between.
Okay.
if that. Like, I know yeah. that's like,
no, I like that.
That's, I mean, truly, that's it, when I have my athletes come in, you know, I had one yesterday at practice who snapped on me.
Okay.
But she snapped and it caught everybody. Like, everybody was like, and they looked at me and I was like, okay.
Right.
Leave the attitude at the door. And then, you know, we went on with practice, but I messaged her yesterday because I was like, okay, something
like that's was, out of character. You knew that was
something
out of
was wrong, because I mm-hmm. do remember, like, during practice, she was standing there. I walked up to her. I was like, you good? And she's like, it's okay. Don't worry about it. I was like, I'm asking, you good? Right. And she like got quiet. I was like, do you need a hug?
Mm-hmm.
And just melted. I was like, yeah. All right, I'm going to check in. Like, I won't do it here, but I'll check in. So I messaged her later. Homegirl was going through some stuff, and right. it all hit at once. So, you know, maybe I shouldn't have said, hey, leave the attitude at the door. But you can tell mentally she wasn't there. Yeah. You know, she was very down, and it was like, it was affecting everything that she was doing. But then I have girls that come in that they're happy, they're excited, they're ready to go.
And you see that in their performance.
You see it in the performance. But then you also have kids that come in, they're not sad, but they're also not super excited. They're just kind of mellow, and mm-hmm. they're just doing good. Like, you know, they're yeah. just average, if that okay. makes any sense.
Yeah. As a coach, what are probably like the most common mental health issues, barriers that you see among your athletes?
I would say fear. If we're going to use that, I'd probably say fear. Like, that's literally 90% of what we do is yeah. trying to coach a kid on building their confidence up to, hey, you can, rather than there's zero chance this happens.
Yeah. I did want to hit on that because it is a sport that tends to have high risk of injury from what I've seen. And when I say from what I've seen, so I don't know if this is what I should have done, but the cheerleading show on Netflix.
I'm sorry.
Okay. So before I'm not an expert, that's probably the closest I've been okay. to cheerleading. But one of the things that I saw a lot in that show was like injuries and yeah. then coming back from an injury, trying to overcome the fear of doing the thing that hurt you in the first place.
Yeah.
But I also saw, like they showed like the youth program yeah. for them, and they showed how a lot of kids they're starting out and it's like seeing other people getting injured would scare them to then do whatever yes. it is, whatever yes. skill they were trying to practice. So how do you go about that? Like, how do you take fear away from somebody?
So honestly, the way that I have been doing it here recently is I've got a girl who is afraid to do her tuck. So I know she's terrified. She's terrified of falling. She's terrified of falling and not flipping over all the way. So what we do, or at least what I do, is I break the skill down itself. The idea of getting her to truly understand how the skill operates. So you've got to understand that if you don't get your hands up, you won't go high enough.
Yeah.
If you don't open your shoulders, you're not going to be able to start the skill. If yeah. you throw your head back, your head goes first into the ground. If you don't bring your feet over, your feet won't get back to the ground. Your hips will actually do the flip itself for you. And it's just breaking it down until they can truly understand how it works. Like, it's like math. 2 + 2 = 4. Okay.
Right.
You can write that down and you can be like, all right, cool. This is it. But how do you get that? So you could probably put like 4 apples together and you can be like, okay, if you have 2 apples here and you have 2 apples here, bring them together and then you count them. Boom, you get 4. And mm-hmm. you can do it as many times as you want, or you can find different ways to explain it that makes it, you know, light bulb goes off and they're yeah. like, oh, snap. Okay. And then they actually start trying it with more trust that you are talking about. You are right at what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And then boom, they start getting confident and they understand like, okay, this is how it works for me. And then boom, that's essentially how it happens.
Yeah. I like how you say you break it down into different steps, because I think when we are learning something new, this can go beyond sports too.
Oh, yeah.
But we try to just be like, okay, I don't know how to do it now. Tomorrow, I'm just going to know how to do it. That never works.
Yes.
That's why New Year's resolutions never work. But it's one of those things where if you really take the time to do your research and like educate yourself on like the little parts of what it would take to complete whatever yeah. goal it is that you have in front of you, I think that that brings on a lot more success.
Oh yeah. I always try to tell athletes there's so many different ways to teach these skills. And then one thing I also like learned that helps is being super silly and saying something outlandish. Like I have one kid when we were teaching back bends, I was telling her, I was like, just move your hands back, you know, push your hips out, squeeze your butt, you'll be fine. And you can tell it wasn't clicking. Mm-hmm. And there was just, we were in the little Christmas spirit and she loves Santa Claus. So I was like,
okay,
hold on. So she came back and I was like, you know, you like Santa Claus, right? She was like, yeah. I was like, you know how Santa Claus has a very big belly? And she was like, yeah, he's fat. I was like, okay.
That's another way to word it.
So I was like, all right, imagine you're Santa Claus. So she was like, wouldn't I be Mrs. Claus? And again, she's young. I embraced it all. I was like, yeah. So imagine you're Mrs. Claus, big belly. Mm-hmm. I was like, I want you to push your belly out as far. Like, I want you to have as big as a belly as Mrs. Claus. And like, she would literally like poke her belly button out and make it big. But like, as she was doing it, it was making the skill easier for her.
Right.
And, she was starting to understand it. So we didn't get it that day, but I remember like later that week, I got a text message of her doing it and mm-hmm. like in the video. And like, I tell some kids like that can do it. I'm like, go to your parents' bed and go do it. Bed super soft. Boom. You'll fall on your head. If you fall on your head, you'll be fine, you know?
Oh, I'm sure parents just love you.
And like, I only do it to the kids that have already been doing it.
Of course.
But sometimes, yeah. So she ended up doing it and it was beautiful. And in the video, she was like, look, Coach Trey told me to poke my belly button out like Santa Claus. And I sat there and I was like, that stuck with her. Now, if I said that to like a 15-year-old kid, they'd look at me kind
of
weird. Like,
of course. Yeah.
Why? But that little thing helped her understand such a big skill. So I try to like think of things that they would relate to and think of things like they would be like, okay, cool. And somehow it works. It takes the pressure off of.
Yeah. 100%.
Overthinking it.
Yeah. Pressure's a big one for athletes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So reversing it from, because obviously, what's the youngest?
The youngest athlete I have right now is 4 years old.
Okay. And you probably do a good amount of work with like people ranging from like 4 to teenage type of year. Yeah. So I would assume that as a parent watching your child flip and fall and all sorts of craziness, that would be tough to watch. So as a coach, is there anything that you do to eliminate fear in parents?
No, I don't. That's a really good question, because I don't really talk to parents when it comes to stuff like that. I do, the furthest thing that I do to that extent is I do let them understand it is part of the sport. Like, kids are going to fall.
Yeah.
It happens. That's why we take the time to train them with proper technique to where it doesn't happen often. But like I see, like when the kids are tumbling, if, you know, kid will fall on the knees, I can see the parent at the corner of my eye, like jump and I'm like,
yeah,
it's okay.
Yeah.
They'll be fine. That's.
Would you have any advice for a parent that is struggling to like accept the fact that that is part of the sport?
Trust. You got to trust. I would say the biggest thing is, as a parent, do your research on the gym.
Read the reviews.
Yes. Read the reviews. Do the research in the gym. Talk to other parents that have been in it for a while. Talk to your athlete. Ask, like, we'll talk to your child. Ask how they feel. How are they feeling? Mm-hmm. Because believe it or not, the way a kid comes in, like, just like we said before, the way a kid enters the room, like, that does dictate the performance. Believe it. Like, it does a good. If they're scared, 9 out of 10, even if they're scared and they're, like, very timid,
that can lead to an injury.
They're not going to give it their all. If yeah. if they walk in there confident, boom. Oh, they're handling business. Ask the one thing I also would tell parents is ask the coach questions. Like, don't be afraid to ask them, like, yeah. Hey, how does this work? What are you looking for? Mm-hmm. How does this this skill being like mastered versus the skill being in the more beginner stages. And then if anything, go ahead and like watch videos. Like,
yeah,
YouTube University does a lot, you know, just go in there, watch videos. You watch, so say like if a girl's working on a back handspring, like watch different tutorials. I mean, yeah, they're kind of lengthy, but watch on how other coaches are teaching a back handspring. Watch how the back handspring looks. Because a lot of coaches, especially on YouTube, at least that's what I've seen, they'll explain the skill, they'll demonstrate the skill, but they'll also explain like things you shouldn't do in the skill that could cause it to not look the way it needs to, or that could cause a fall.
Yeah, because I imagine a lot of these kids are taking whatever new skills they learn at practice and attempting to do it at home as well. So I feel like even as simple as the parent knowing what the skill is supposed to look like, and if your child starts doing something that you're like, I don't think that's supposed to be like as simple as being able to call that out may go a long way as well.
Yeah, I know. I have, I always tell kids, I'm like, if you are not doing it on the floor, so we have so many different surfaces that you can tumble on. You have a trampoline, you have an air track, you have crash mats, you have a spring floor, you have a dead floor. There's a lot.
Okay.
I tell athletes, if you aren't doing it on a harder surface, i.e. the spring floor or the dead floor, with confidence with the coach, don't do it at home.
Yeah.
Don't even try it. You know, like I've got girls that, like some of them are elite girls. If I want them working on their skills, I tell them to work on the skill lower than what we're working on in the gym.
Okay.
That way they're not stressing themselves out about the skill that they can't perform masterfully. But they're also still getting reps in the skills that they have, and they're keeping their body conditioned.
Okay. I like that. So you've mentioned confidence a few times now. Is there specific things that you guys do within tumbling community that instills confidence within your athletes?
Drills.
So repetition.
Repetitions. again, breaking it down. That's such a big thing. Like breaking it down to like the skeleton and then building the body around it, and then hyping them up. If they do a drill, like I've gotten to the point to, if they do a drill and it is beautiful, no, it's not the skill that we're working on. Maybe they're just doing, say like we're working on a cartwheel, but then they do a handstand because the handstand is one of the most important like skills in the sport. If they do a handstand, it's beautiful. Oh, I'm going crazy. I'm like, yo, yes. Or like if I'll sit there and I'll try to compete with them. I'll be like, my handstand better than yours.
Okay.
And they'll be like, what? You're old. You can't do it. Right. And they'll do it. And it somehow it's even better. I was like, you can't do it better than that. But like, I'll egg them on a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. And it pushes. But again, it's just the simple drill or a skill that we're doing that little do they know when it is time to do the big skill we're working on. Mm-hmm. That's about to be super, super easy because they've worked on the skeleton of it.
They don't have to think about it as much when they're doing it.
There you go.
Okay. Now, obviously, you've done this before as well, and you still, sounds like you still
go
around throwing around flips and stuff every once in a while. So what are some of the mental challenges you've had to overcome as an athlete?
So when the biggest one for me, I don't think I was ever scared. Mm-hmm. I was never scared until I started working on double fulls. So
Coach, I'm gonna need you to break this down. What is all right, double full?
So double full is a layout. So it's a straight body position that flips and it spins twice.
Okay.
And I was never terrified. Like, I saw that the first time and wanted to do that. Mm-hmm. But I remember, like, my junior year, I think it's either my junior or my senior year of high school, I remember starting to work on it because I was like, I want that. But I remember my coach telling me, don't do that. There's no reason to teach it to you. There's no reason for you to learn it because you'll blow a knee out.
Okay.
Okay. Didn't care. I still wanted the skill. So, like, I would go to the trampoline, keep practicing it. And, like, it didn't dawn on me that that could happen. I was just doing it. Like, I was, like, just knocking it out. I was on there. I was falling a bunch. But once I started landing it, I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. Well, I wanted to do it on the floor. It would never get spotted. But I kept being told that my knee would blow out and I would lose an ACL. And I wouldn't be able to do this anymore so much that it truly affected how I was doing the sport, like how I was tumbling. So like, I didn't want to try that double, but like I wanted to try the double. So at the end of the day, I was just realistically because I wanted to, but like I was also scared. I was half-assing it. And like, I don't remember truly being taught how to do it. I just remember round off handspring set up, spin twice. We're hoping and praying, you know? Okay. And then like, I never worked on it. Like I didn't work on it at all until I got older. And then I got to this gym that I'm working at now where I had the apparatus. I was like, let me just go ahead and practice it. And I started practicing it. Mm-hmm. But again, like even as old as I am, I would practice it. But I also had the thought in the back.
So you always had that negative.
I had that negative thought in the back of my head. And again, I was like 17, 18 working on doubles. And I remember being like 26. Mm. Yeah. It was about 26, 27 working on doubles. And again, that's in the back of my head still, like I could blow my knee out. But I would, because I got older and I was still in the sport, like I was learning how the double works. So I was trying to correct my technique on it. And eventually I did it, you know, I tore my meniscus and I didn't do the surgery immediately.
Okay.
Just because they're like, you kind of don't need it. Just go ahead and do PT. I was like, all right, cool. Did PT, but I was scared because I was like, is it the twisting skills or is it just regular skills? Like, what is going to cause me to hurt?
Right.
And then like, I started doing like my regular skills, like the skills that I had easy and it wasn't hurting. So I was like, okay, cool. I'm fine. The double, I left it alone. I was like, I retired. I've already landed one. I'll be fine. But, like I sit there and I think about it. I'm like, I think I would have had this skill a little bit more easier if I wasn't told, hey, you're going to get hurt.
Yeah. Or even if you were able to reframe that some way.
Yeah.
In like your thought processes where it's like, if rather than think about like, oh, these are older things that could go wrong, mastering, like you said, the little in between pieces, it's like, okay, rather than thinking about it, these are older things that could go wrong. You could think about it, as long as I do all of these things right, this will come out right.
100%. So like where we've got girls that, you know, aren't the strongest, but they're learning. Mm-hmm. I always tell them, like, if you do this, this, and this, I promise you, this will work every time.
Yeah.
And suppose, like, they do it, and, like, they fall on their heads. And they're like, oh, I don't like that. Well, I'm like, okay, well, the first thing I ask them is, what felt different? And if that isn't a question I ask, I'm like, so did you do everything we ask? And they'll sit there and they'll think, they'll be like, yeah. I'm like, all right, cool. So suppose they tell me, like, we're doing a back handspring. That's the one where you sit, you jump, put your hands on the ground, and then put your feet on the ground. I was like, suppose we do that and you bump your head, right? And they're like, I did everything. I'm like, all right, cool. What causes you to hit your head? I was like, what's one thing we don't do that allows that? This is the big one, keeping their arm straight. And they'll be like, they'll give me their answer and say, like, it's keeping my arm straight. I'm like, all right, cool. Do you think you kept your arm straight? And they're like, I tried. Okay, cool. That's it. That's all I need. You tried. Okay. So can we try just a little bit harder? And if they, a lot of times they don't understand how to keep their arms straight.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell them, when you're upside down, just push the ground. And sometimes that works. And if they don't understand how to push the ground, I'm like, do you have siblings? And they're like, yeah. I was like, you have a brother, right? Older, kind of annoys you sometimes. I'm like, push him out the way. They be pushing the ground. Super. I'm like, oh, okay. So, so I'll be fighting. Right. But it works. It definitely, just being able to tell them like, hey, this is the ingredients to make the cake. Follow it from one to seven, you know?
Yeah. In your response to when I asked you, you had said that you went back to the things that you knew you could do easily, and you did those to make sure that your pain level like wasn't going to be through the roof. And when those felt good, it helped you get through some of the moments like that passed after that. And I think that's something that we take for granted sometimes as athletes. We will focus so much on like what we did wrong along the way that we forget to like come back to our strengths. But I mean, at least for soccer, the way that it works is like, not every player is built for every position.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like, as a midfielder, I have to have really good vision. My pass rate needs to be really good, right? I need to be able to shoot from outside the box. And so there might be things that I might not be able to do. Like, I'm not the quickest, I would say, sprint wise, but my endurance is through the roof.
Yeah.
So rather than focus on like, okay, these are all the things that I don't have, these are all the things that I'm not as good at, being able to come back and like do like a double check on some of the strengths that I do have and that are consistent no matter what it is that I'm trying to do, like that can be super helpful in like attempting to overcome a new skill or something that maybe I'm not the best at. I think a lot of athletes don't have that ability to be able to do that and like backtrack onto that strengths list. They do so much of like negative, 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 negative.
Yeah. A lot of people don't understand that it's not a step back, but rerouting yourself to get to the elite skill, rerouting yourself to get to where you want to be is vital in this sport. Like, it helps so much. And then you've got your handful of people that see it as a negative thing. They're like, oh my gosh, I want to be working on this. Yeah, I get that. But right now where we're at isn't working. I still want to get you here,
mm-hmm.
but let's take the scenic route to get there. I was like, I promise you, it's still just as beautiful as straightforward. So,
yeah. So what would you claim is the toughest part about the mentality that this sport requires?
Trust.
In yourself or?
So I think, yeah, no, you're 100% trust in yourself. When these athletes come in and we're teaching them something brand new, they don't know how it works. So now they have to trust that not only we know what we're talking about, that we're going to keep them safe. So now when it's time for them to do it by themselves, we could have spent, you know, all this time building the skill up, building their confidence up. Now it's up to them to be like, okay, I can do this.
Yeah.
And that, I think that is the hardest thing when it comes to doing the sport. It's just getting the kids to realize, hey, you really are good.
As an athlete, what was the hardest thing for you to maintain mentally? Did you have a hard time trusting yourself?
I don't think I did. I think it was, to me, it was all fun. It was like,
okay. So you didn't put that pressure on you then?
No, it was such a big game to me. Like, I truly enjoyed the sport. Like, I knew it wasn't until I started working on my double where things kind of got a little wonky. But other than that, it was fun. Like, I would go into practice, we'd warm up our stunts, warm up our tumbling, try to show off this, that, and the third, practice, go home. Like, it was truly one of my favorite sports I've ever done.
Did you play or not play? Did you, did you tumble in college?
Yeah. So I cheered at Wallace and I had to drop out due to some personal things.
Okay.
But it was fun. It was super, super cool.
Do you feel like this is something that you're going to do for as long as you can? Like, are you going to be that person that dies in the gym?
Props. Probably. Like, I want to go, I realistically, I actually want to go back to school for physical therapy. So when, like, I went to school for business and I got my degree in business and thinking I was going to use it immediately.
Mm-hmm.
No, but I learned a lot. I definitely learned a lot at school and I'm glad. And it was more of a, just a personal ode to myself. Like, hey, even though I dropped out of school the first time,
right,
I could still go get my degree. I didn't have to get it and graduate at a super early time. Like, I got my degree. I can actually say, hey, I finished.
Okay.
But then, like, upon getting my degree, I realized, like, that's something I didn't want to really, really want to do, which made me understand why people consistently go back to school and get different degrees. But I didn't know what it was.
Mm.
So when I tore my ACL, I went to different physical therapy locations to try to find a therapist. Mm. So I was like, I need to get rehab. And I went to My Agile, and I remember walking in there, and the issue that I was coming across was these places were not accepting my insurance.
Okay.
And I'm like, I gotta find something.
Yeah, PT can be very expensive.
Right.
And it racks up because you have to have 2-3 sessions a week, especially when you're right off of an injury. So
yeah,
it's never fun.
It was starting to be very stressful because I was like, I need to be getting on the ball of things. Plus I don't know how to do it myself. So like the only thing in my head is working out, try to work the muscles.
Yeah.
I don't know. So I ended up going in there and I remember asking her, I'm like, hey, do you accept my insurance? And she told me no. And I was like, great. And I remember her asking me, how did I find out about that place? And a couple of our athletes at the gym went to her.
Okay.
And then one of my coach friends, she told me to go there. So I was like, all right, cool. Mm-hmm. Well, Dr. Lisa looked at me and I remember asking her, do you know any other places that would do it? And she had like this 2-minute like silence. And she was like, I'll take you on as a client. She's like, because I don't trust that you'll go. She's like, I don't trust other places to get you to where you need to go.
Okay. Yeah.
And when I tell you, I'm not even kidding. Maybe I had been backed up for a minute, but I got in a car, cried.
Oh.
It was one of those things where like her saying that was huge because I think I had went to like 6 different places
mm-hmm.
and they all said no.
Yeah.
And when I tell you, I was like stressed. I was so super, super stressed. And so far she has taken the time and I can already feel myself getting stronger. Like my, mm-hmm. I know for a fact my left leg is stronger than my right leg right now. And we're only 3 months out.
Yeah.
And it's just after that, the way she rehabs is the way that I coach. Mm. So she is tough.
Yeah.
And I don't think I had a PT session where I walked out of there and I wasn't hurting. Like,
right.
But it was great. Like I could feel myself getting stronger. But the way she's been doing it, plus the students that have been there, you know, working under her, made me want to do physical therapy. Like, it was like, okay, I'm for sure. Because in my head, I was like, I'm done. I'm done with school, yada, yada, yada. And she's like, I entered physical therapy school at 29. And I'm like,
that kind of gave you permission to be like, wait, okay, I need this too.
So I sat there and in my head, physical therapy is just like coaching. Like you're rehabbing somebody to get back to, you know, 100%. You're coaching a kid to be at their 100% no matter what. Yeah. And it's just like really ingrained. Like that's what I'm gonna go to school for. Like that will probably be the end goal for me.
Have you thought about where you want to enroll?
No.
That's the next step.
UAB has a good program. Mm-hmm. I do know Jeff State does PTA, so that's just kind of a feeder into it.
Yeah.
Essentially, I would have to start school over just because of the classes that I did for business are not the same thing.
Of course, yeah.
So I'm like,
I don't know that they're going to be able to find very many.
Yeah, I was like, oh, that's wonderful. So,
yeah. Okay. That's cool, though, that you've decided to kind of learn something new. I think we forget to do that as adults. Continuously learn new things.
Yes, 100%.
We like to just be really good at one thing and call it a day.
Yeah.
Which is sometimes not the best characteristic to have.
Mm-hmm.
So I did have a question in relation to like just youth sports in general, because obviously you have a good amount of experience with that. How beneficial do you feel like it is for a kid to go into sports at like a young age?
I think it's great. I think it's absolutely amazing, because the one thing that it teaches is, aside from the discipline, like mm-hmm. I do think it teaches discipline in certain parts.
Right.
I think it teaches kids, and my friend Kyle says this all the time, it teaches kids that you can do hard things.
Like so resilience building, yeah, basically.
This stuff is difficult and you can actually do it with mm-hmm. practice. So I would suggest anybody, young kid, get them in sports. Go ahead. And like, you never know. A parent who played football will probably want their son to play football. You never know. The kid may end up loving golf.
Yeah.
Like,
that's difficult for some parents to accept though.
Yeah, yes. We do have a good bit of parents that be living through their kid.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, just let them do the sports, but like, get them into multiple sports. Cause they may end up loving it. And hey, they may go pro in a sport you never thought of.
Yeah.
Or
that's true.
They may take it to that collegiate level. So
yeah,
I'd say do it.
That's actually why I have a 2-week experience with cheerleading. So I did tell you I was going to bring this back. Okay. So my parents were definitely like that, where they put me in like a little bit of everything. So I've played T-ball, basketball, soccer, volleyball, track. Like I've pretty much done a little bit of everything when I was in elementary school. So our high school would do like a summer camp where the high school cheerleaders would run a camp to like fundraise for the high school program,
okay.
the high school cheer team. And like parents would pay for their little kids to like be in like a 2-week cheerleading experience. Then at the end of the 2-week, you go with the high school cheerleaders and you like perform at like a football game. Or something of that nature.
Okay.
Ours was a football game.
Okay.
So I remember, so I didn't want to go. But my reasoning for not wanting to go is because I had to wear like girl stuff. Okay. So I was a tomboy. like near and dear. My favorite outfit in elementary school was like a Seahawks jersey.
Cause ooh, I'm come
from
on now.
Seattle.
Come
Washington.
On now.
And actually my Seahawks jersey, it did have like pink and blue, but it was a jersey. So to me, that was like perfect.
Okay.
But they wanted me to wear like a skirt and like a little like tutu looking thing.
Yeah.
Right?
With the little bow, the host.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep, bow. And I was like, no. I'm not going. I was like, if I can't go in a jersey and shorts, I'm not going. And mom was like, no, like you have to buy into the experience, right? So, you know, eventually I did get kicked out the door with my tutu on or whatever it's called,
man.
Right? Survived the first week. And I remember like my favorite time, like my favorite period within the camp was always snack time. It was always.
Yeah,
it was always snack time.
Not want to be
I was never gonna succeed in this environment.
So here's the question. Okay, you not wanting to do it, did you tell them that? Like, hey, no, I'm not doing this ever again.
I don't know. Well, I told my parents, especially after the 2 weeks, because what happened at the football game, I cried the entire time. Didn't do a single skill. I just cried. Until they let me go home, and
okay.
which eventually did happen. When I got home, I was like, I don't ever want to do that again.
And
then I
like,
never did it again. Yeah.
I'm so glad that you said that. I can tell there are athletes now that don't want to do this. And it's low key sad, but we have athletes that range from 3.
Mm-hmm.
I say 3. That was over exaggerating. But we have young athletes that, like, from young all the way to high school that do not want to do it.
Yeah.
And I hear it all the time. Like, you can tell they don't want to do it.
Miserable.
Yeah. We're still going to coach them. We're going to mm-hmm. teach them, yada, yada, yada. And sometimes I'll ask them, do you want to do this?
Right.
And they'll be like, no. Okay, cool. Why?
Right.
I just don't like it. Then why are you here? And every time, my mom made me.
Mm-hmm.
My dad made me.
Mm-hmm.
I can't quit. And it's crazy because I was like, well, did you tell them that? They're like, yeah, I told them I don't want to be here. Okay. So as a parent, why do we keep pushing? Like, don't get me wrong. I understand we don't want to teach the whole quitting thing, but if it's a tumbling class, if it's just the class, it's not a team. If it was a team, I can see it, but it's a class. Mm-hmm. Like, you can drop the class for your time and go do something else, you know?
Well, and here, I think there's a difference between quitting and taking a step back.
Yeah.
Right. So, because in turn, I think if that's the approach that you take as a parent is like, no, you will do this because I said so. Then they learn that they're supposed to do things just because somebody tells them to do it.
Yeah.
Rather than trying to take a step back, reflect on like, okay, what are the things that I like doing? And in my opinion, like, self-awareness is one of the things that we do not do enough when it comes to like instilling that into young kids. It's like, rather than like, don't wait for an adult to tell you that you're good at this or not good at this. What do you think, right? Yeah. How do you feel when you do go to class? How do you feel when you get to compete in this? Is this for you? Is it not for you? And I don't think that we give a lot of kids even the opportunity to be able to do that.
Yeah.
Then they go into their adult jobs and they're just doing the job because it's making the money and paying the rent. Then they realize when they're 29, 30, that they actually don't like what they went to school for. They don't like 100%. The job that they have. They've been miserable for the past decade. And now we got to go back to school, restart, relearn myself. And for the first time now, I'm a self-aware human being.
Yeah.
Right. But I mean, it's one of those things that I can see would be difficult for a parent, especially if it's like I grew up playing soccer my whole life. And I used to say, if my kid doesn't play soccer, I'd put them up for adoption. Obviously, I know now that that's not ever going to occur, but
it's like I said, it's such a surreal thing. Like, there's so many times where I hear it and I'm just like, somebody going to tell you, like, mm-hmm. they're not going to do it. And it's, I feel like kids also get scared to say that. I'm like,
yeah,
it's okay. Like, I get it. If you don't want to be here, that's fine. I was like, yeah. Still try while you're here. I know it's miserable. I know you don't like it. Just try.
Yeah.
Just try to have the conversation. Be like, look, mom, dad, cheerleading's not for me.
Yeah. I think one of the biggest reasons why that's so scary, even as adults, is it's hard for us to say, I don't want to do this, but I don't know what I want to do.
Yeah.
Right. But if you're so embedded in this thing that you know for sure you're not enjoying, you don't have time to look outside that little box that you've put yourself in. So of course you're not going to know what you want to do. But it's like I said before, like, take the step back and write a list of your strengths for all I care. Like, what are some things that you are good at that you do enjoy doing?
Yeah.
That alone is going to be a starting point to eventually, hopefully, finding out like, okay, maybe tumbling's not for me, but basketball sounds right.
I've seen so many kids stop this sport because they just didn't like it and either go to a different sport or be done with sports in general.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see, like, if I'm scrolling through Instagram, I'll see the picture. They're happy.
Yeah.
Like, you can, again, yes, we know it's the internet. You know how the internet is.
Of course.
But you can still see the genuine happiness. Mm-hmm. Like, there's not a care in the world. They're having fun.
Yeah.
The pressure of having to be there, having to do good, just, it's not there anymore. And I'm like, okay,
they don't
good.
Feel stuck.
Exactly.
It's like they get a chance to actually breathe for the first time, which can be a huge relief for somebody who's been so pressured to do something for such a long period of time.
Oh, yeah.
So, okay. So if an athlete has decided that like cheering, tumbling, that is their thing, what advice would you give to an athlete that's been doing it for a little bit, has gotten their strength up quite a bit, and they're in high school looking to be recruited at a collegiate level?
So I can't speak for being a head coach because I am an assistant, and I can't speak for other coaches. I can only speak for myself. As a collegiate coach wanting someone in high school, I would tell them, be coachable. Be coachable. Because I can't say you got to have all the skills in the world, because I may be at a program where not all my girls on the team currently, and my boys have the skill.
Okay.
So I can't sit up there. If I'm looking for level 5 skills and my entire team has level 3 skills, I can't do that. Right. Like, I can slowly implement it and like, hey, start building your skills up. So when I'm recruiting for the next class, they already have an idea of what I'm looking for. I just tell them, be coachable. Yeah. Like, you've got to be willing to get in. And if you come in as a top girl, can I make you a super strong base? Or if you come in as a base, can I make you an amazing back spot? Like, what can I do to make you the best athlete that you will ever be, when it is time for you to graduate and like move on to like the real world or whatever? Yeah.
I like that. I think, we think as high schoolers that college coaches expect perfection, when a lot of times, like, that's really not what they're looking for. They're looking for somebody who's willing to learn.
Yeah. And I also, like, for me, the school is located in Hanceville, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
So
I don't even know where that is.
Yeah. It's about an hour north from here. It's okay. Like right before Cullman.
Okay.
Which is an hour. It's,
yeah. I'm from Washington. I'm just going to pretend that I know where that is. Yeah. I'll look it up later.
So it's like they mainly try to get more North Alabama kids. Mm-hmm. We've got occasional kids from other like cities. But the school is essentially in a town that not a lot of people know about.
Yeah.
So I also tell high school kids, be open. Like, the idea is when you're wanting to do this sport in college, you are going to become just like you are in high school, you're going to become a more hardened student athlete.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, so pick the school for your studies first. And then pick the school that you would like in terms of just athletics.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, like going into it, you still have to be coachable. You still have to be willing to take criticism. You're going to have bad days. It's understandable.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have amazing days. We love that. But you've got to be willing to trust what the coach is doing in terms of building up their program. Because as it's in... most of the kids that I work with, they want to go to college to compete.
Yeah.
Okay. These competition coaches have they have an idea of what they want to do. And at the end of the day, goal is to win.
Yeah. Like,
that's what they want to do. They also want to, the big thing, they want to develop these athletes
and
make them absolutely incredible. But that side goal, they still want to win.
It's going to play a part. So for sure.
It's what can you do to attribute to them getting that ring to the final goal.
Yeah. Okay. I like that. Well, thank you seriously for hopping onto the podcast with me. I definitely enjoyed having you on and learning about something that before today I didn't know anything about. I did watch the gymnastics competitions for the Olympics.
Yes.
And so I was, you know, that meme that was on Instagram where it was like, you'd sit on the couch and you were eating pretending that you, that was me. I was pretending that I knew what score they were going to get, when in reality I didn't. And I could never do anything that these athletes do, but it is an incredible sport to watch. It's very entertaining.
And look, you can.
Oh, here we go.
You can. No.
It's going to be the coach in you.
No. You can. It's just, it takes time. It takes time and you have to start. You have to essentially start from square one and then work your way up. I promise you. There's a lot of people that said, I can never do this. And I'm like, that sounds like a challenge to me.
Well, let me get my handstand down first.
Learn it. Like, I've got girls now that we were doing back handsprings, but I'm like, let me see what your handstand looks like. And it's kind of a little wonky. I'm like,
practice that.
So we're finna work on it.
Yeah.
So it's just, as long as you start from the bottom and like understand you're going to fail.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You have to fail. Like, people don't understand you have to fail to get better.
Yeah.
If you're okay with failing, you're going to be better.
Yeah. Well, I'll practice my handstand. I'll let you know how that goes.
But, awesome.
And to all my listeners, thank you for spending some time with me today as we entangled ourselves in the mental world of tumbling. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to share and subscribe. Catch the next episode next Friday. And as always, our goal is to spread awareness on the importance of mental health as it relates to every person. No matter who you are or what you do, there's not a single person that goes unaffected by mental health. And don't forget, you are mentally entangled in every aspect of your life.